gotta have that mindset that quitting is not an option. Give up? Who me? Never. Stop? Who me? Never. That's for the next guy. That's for the next girl. But not me. Why? Because I don't quit. That ain't how I do it. That ain't how I roll. I never give up.
Olympic gold medals aren't actually made of gold. They're 92.5% silver with 6 grams of gold plating. They're worth about $2,300. The bronze medal, it's made of copper, worth about $6. And now they're literally falling apart.
Here's the little piece that is supposed to go in the ribbon to hold it in the medal. And yeah, it came apart. Don't jump in them. I was jumping in excitement and it broke. I'm sure somebody will fix it. It's not like crazy broken, but it's a little broken.
It's real.
I broke it.
Yeah, it keeps breaking. I'll fix it again.
Imagine working your entire life, honing your skills, presenting them on the world stage, and as you jump for joy at winning gold, it literally falls apart. And this isn't a one-off. In 2024, Olympians showed how within days of receiving their medals, they were already tarnishing and breaking. Chips, discoloration, one Olympian described it as crocodile skin. The organization handing out those medals is a nonprofit, sitting on $4.9 billion in reserves, with $18.4 billion in future revenue locked in through 2036. They pay zero taxes on any of it. And the athletes, they see basically none of this money. They can't even get a real gold medal out of these people. This is the International Olympic Committee, or the IOC, and the way their money works is best understood as a pyramid. The International Olympic Committee sits at the top. Below them are the national committees. There's one for each country. Below those are the governing bodies for each individual sport. Take track and field as an example. And at the very bottom, carrying the entire thing on their backs, are the athletes. Every layer of this pyramid has executives earning 6 and 7 figures, and at every layer, the money disappears before it ever reaches the bottom. From 2021 through 2024, the IOC generated $7.7 billion in commercial revenue. NBC alone has paid them $7.75 billion for rides running through 2032. So where does all that money actually go? In their annual report, the IOC says they redistribute 90% of their revenue, and look, they list athletes first in that claim, making it seem as if Olympic athletes are paid generously. But notice all the other organizations listed. These are the layers to the pyramid, the other committees. If we scroll through this annual report, there is no line item for athlete salaries. The IOC does not directly pay any income to athletes. Nothing. Instead, they have a line item for contributions to national Olympic committees, including grants for travel, equipment, and athletes, tacked on at the end. Their funds are distributed down to the next layer of the pyramid, the national Olympic committees. But the people running the International Olympic Committee, the top of the pyramid, they take care of themselves. The executives are technically considered volunteers. In 2025, those volunteers, they were paid $15.3 million in salaries. So the nonprofit that doesn't directly pay athletes a salary is paying their volunteers. So where does that contributions to NOCs and athletes money go once it reaches the national committees? In the US, that's the USOPC, the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee. They receive no federal funding. If we go to their website, they claim their athlete excellence program accounted for almost 61% of all spending. Sounds great. Let's look at their actual financial statements. In 2024, the USOPC had $515 million in revenue. Their expenses list total athlete excellence at $233 million. This makes it seem like athletes are getting all of that $233 million. They're not. But look at what's actually included inside that $233 million. $31.8 million went to USOPC employee salaries. Millions more went to their travel, their software subscriptions, their office supplies. The USOPC had 642 employees in 2024, and each one of them is categorized somewhere throughout these athlete expenses. The accounting trick is identical to the International Olympic Committee's. Notice this line item, NGB and athlete support. They're lumping athletes with another committee, yet again, making it seem as if these athletes are receiving far more than they actually are. So after the International Olympic Committee distributes these millions to the U.S. National Committee, how much of that is distributed to the actual athletes? Well, they finally tell us. On the USOPC's own website, 1,436 athletes were distributed $17 million. Just $17 million split among more than 1,400 athletes. That comes out to $11,838 each, less than $1,000 a month. And the CEO of the U.S. Olympic Committee, Sarah Hirschlin, made $1.29 million in 2024. She makes 109 times more than an Olympic athlete that actually competes for the United States. One more layer down in the pyramid, the national governing bodies, these organizations run each individual sport. This is where the majority of that NGB and athlete support money went. Each governing body decides what happens to that money, and they don't disclose how they spend it. But look at how uneven this is. USA Swimming received $5.3 million in athlete grants. USA Track and Field, $6.4 million. Skateboarding, $553,000. Ski Mountaineering, $288. And Pelota, zero. Once the governing body gets the money, we don't know how it's split. This explains why one snowboarder might be financially stable, while another Olympic athlete is literally choosing between training and rent. But yet again, the executives and employees are taken care of. The CEO of Track and Field, Max Siegel, made $1.18 million in 2024. He's making a $1 million salary even when USA Track and Field is negative $6 million. So between the International Olympic Committee, the U.S. Olympic Committee, and now these governing bodies, what are athletes actually guaranteed to receive? If an athlete wins gold for Team USA, they get a one-time bonus of $37,500, silver $22,500, bronze $15,000. If they don't medal, which is the vast majority of athletes, they get nothing. Meanwhile, Kazakhstan pays its gold medalist $250,000. Singapore pays $737,000. Hong Kong pays $769,000. The United States, the country that wins the most amount of medals with the world's largest economy at $30 trillion, pays its champions less than Kazakhstan, whose economy is 100 times smaller. It took a billionaire donating $100 million to finally guarantee Team USA athletes $200,000 each, regardless of their performance for 2026. The system is so broken that it required a private citizen to step in and do what a $4.9 billion nonprofit wouldn't. For the vast majority of Olympic athletes, there is no financial help. It's on the athletes to find their own sponsors, to pay for their own training. They're working two, sometimes three jobs, all while trying to train at the same time. Monica competed in 2016 and won bronze. She competed again in 2020. No sponsors, had to fundraise herself. Her yearly income was below the poverty level. Danielle won an Olympic silver medal. According to her, she can barely pay her rent. Many Olympians have turned to OnlyFans and GoFundMe to finance their Olympic careers. And what's the Olympic Committee's response to this? Their spokesperson said, "Athletes, like all citizens, are allowed to do what they can. How generous of an organization sitting on billions. They don't even let the athletes document their own experience at the Olympics. They don't want to take eyeballs away from NBC, who's paying them billions." But the athletes are only one part of this, because the International Olympic Committee doesn't just extract wealth from the athletes, they do it to entire countries. If a city wants to host the Olympics, they have to go to the International Olympic Committee to place a bid. They spend $50 to $100 million just on this bid. Not to host the Olympics, just to be considered. Chicago spent roughly $92 million on a failed bid for the 2016 Games and continued paying off that debt until 2024. If the International Olympic Committee picks you, it gets even worse. They dictate all of the requirements. 40,000 hotel rooms, specific venue standards, billion-dollar security operations. The city pays for all of it through private donations and taxpayer money. And the billions that the Olympic Committee makes from broadcasting rights and sponsorships, that money leaves the host city and flies back to Switzerland with the executives. We're seeing it happen right now. The Los Angeles 2028 Olympics had a $5.3 billion budget. It's already climbed to $6.9 billion, and the games are still years away. The federal government has already committed $1 billion just for security and is being asked for another $2 billion for transit. The games haven't even started yet, and American taxpayers are already paying billions. Beijing spent over $40 billion hosting the 2008 games. Tokyo's bid for 2020 outlined $7.3 billion in costs. A government audit later revealed the actual total was $30 billion. Now, the IOC did give Tokyo $1.3 billion back, but who makes up the difference? It's always the taxpayer. Montreal took 30 years to pay off its Olympic debt. Athens built dozens of venues that are now literally rotting. Now, the Olympic Committee claims there are powerful economic benefits for host cities. Tourism, career opportunities, raising the city's global profile. But the reality is much bleaker. When cities host the Olympics, there's a term for what happens to tourism. The crowding out effect. Regular tourists avoid the city because prices spike and everything's congested. You don't get more tourists, you get different tourists who spend the same amount of money or less. And then there's the infrastructure argument. All of the facilities and stadiums built for the games can be used by the public afterward. Tokyo built the National Stadium for $1.4 billion. After the games, it sat mostly empty, with taxpayers paying a reported $15 million annually just in upkeep. These facilities aren't built for the public. They're built for specialized Olympic events. After the games, cities can't find tenants. Companies don't want to rent them. I mean, people aren't renting these things to throw a birthday party. So they sit empty, with taxpayers funding their maintenance. And if they're not maintained, they end up like Athens, completely abandoned, crumbling, turning into forgotten ruins. And people started noticing. In the early 2010s, the public started looking into the amount of debt cities were taking on. They started asking a very reasonable question. Why are we spending millions of taxpayer money just to be considered? This became a serious problem for the Olympic Committee. Four European cities withdrew their bids for the 2022 Winter Olympics, leaving only Beijing and Almaty. Five more cities pulled out of consideration for the 2026 Winter Games. So the Olympic Committee switched it up. It's no longer called bidding, it's called continuous dialogue, which means negotiations happen behind closed doors away from the public who kept asking uncomfortable questions. They started awarding cities over a decade in advance. Paris and LA were both announced in 2017, with LA's games not happening until 2028. That's 11 years in advance. The longer the timeline, the harder it is for the public to organize opposition before the money's been spent. Only one city has turned a profit hosting the Olympics, Los Angeles in 1984. And there's a reason why. No other city wanted to host the games. LA agreed on the condition that they wouldn't incur any financial obligation, and the Olympic Committee, desperate, accepted. The one time a city had leverage on the Olympic Committee, they made money. Every other city has lost. And if history is any indication, LA 2028 won't be another exception. Taxpayers have already provided billions in funding, and the games are still years away. The Olympics was supposed to be about the best of humanity, athletes pushing the limits of what the human body can achieve, representing their countries on the world's biggest stage. Instead, the Olympic Committee built a pyramid, where athletes sacrifice everything for the privilege of competing. Cities bid hundreds of millions of dollars for the privilege of hosting. And taxpayers fund billions of dollars for the privilege of watching. And at every layer sit executives running nonprofits, earning seven figures, handing out $6 medals, calling themselves volunteers.
I'm a 2016 Olympic bronze medalist, and these are the reasons why I retired. You guys wanted proof? So I'm gonna show you a video from one of our national tournaments where the girls' coach is sitting directly next to the higher up referee, and you see the higher up referee telling the very inexperienced referee, who actually wasn't supposed to be reffing this match, to make calls for this coach's student. Mind you, these calls were incorrect. And while these referees received a 9-month ban, this girl kept her points and will now be going to the Olympics. Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't think that's very fair.